You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrer.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we look at a school district boundary in Wisconsin, which a new report says is among the worst segregating school district borders in the country.
First, ever since the publication of Susan Cain's book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking, introversion has been in. People are celebrating the fact that it's okay to stay in, it's okay to need time to recover after lots of social interaction. And yes, it's okay to regulate how much interpersonal stimulation you get.
We talked to some people at WPR about whether they were introverts or extroverts, and here's what they had to say.
Extreme introvert. Any social interaction feels like, you know, those using those hand exercise things where you're like making a muscle, like anytime just making a muscle for an extended period of time, and then you just like, I'm so exhausted by the end of it, just sort of mentally.
When I discovered the term extrovert, I thought that matched with me well. I thought I could very well identify with that term because that explained my personality.
I'm an introvert. I think it's deeply affected my ability to get out there and make my life happen in a really meaningful way.
I am an extrovert, but I oftentimes get mistaken for an introvert because I actually don't like to talk that much. I like to be around people. Even if I'm not speaking to them, just knowing that they are there makes me feel energized.
Because of my job responsibilities and just experience alone, I am still an introvert, but I am not shy anymore. But I do need time to recharge. So I am out talking to people and being seemingly extroverted. It is exhausting for me, and I do need time to go home and just be by myself. It's hugely important for me to do that, recharge my batteries.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert? How important do you think that is to who you are or to the rest of your personality? How do you deal with people who are on a different part of the introvert-extrovert spectrum than you? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Brian Little says people who see themselves as nothing but introverts are limiting themselves, and he's here with us to explain why. He's the author of Me, Myself, and Us, The Science of Personality and the Art of Well-Being. He's a fellow of the Well-Being Institute and director of the Social Ecology Research Group in the Department of Psychology at Cambridge University. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
Well, why do you think that people who decide that they are introverts are limiting themselves?
Well, it really goes to the whole issue of whether you should label yourself. It's a little bit like putting yourself in a pigeonhole, and I'm not even sure that pigeons belong in pigeonholes. And so I think that the awareness that people began to get in reading Susan Cain's book was really important. They realized that they could be described as introverts, and that didn't mean that they were failures or that they were useless or that they couldn't be expected to rise to occasions. And that was terrific. But now I'm experiencing the phenomenon of introverts perhaps shortchanging themselves and cutting too short the prospects for living well, because they rest in that little rabbit warren that they've created for themselves, and I think that can be constricting.
Are you saying that's in part because of the spotlight that Susan Cain's book Quiet has shined on the value of being an introvert, that people are maybe embracing it too much?
Fewer are perhaps embracing it too much. It's giving them an excuse for not venturing out in their lives. But on whole, the effect of Susan's book has been terrific. It's been emancipatory for a lot of people who thought themselves abnormal or strange because they didn't engage with the social world in a way that their extroverted friends would. And I think that's been wonderful. I do think, however, if you glom on to the title, I'm an introvert, and that's the only thing that defines you, then I think that can be constraining. One of the folks that was speaking in the preamble was saying that because of her professional role, she has to, in my terms, act out of character. She's introverted, but she has to act in an extroverted fashion for her professional roles. And one of the chapters of Susan Cain's book is precisely about this, chapter 9, and she talks about this strange Canadian professor at Harvard University who hid from his students but entertained them rapturously because he was a pseudo-extrovert. And that guy happened to be me.
Oh.
and I'm like many of your listeners. I'm what I call biogenically introverted. Part of my neurochemistry is such that I get over aroused with too much stimulation, and social stimulation is a good example of that which can be truly arousing. But and consequently, I need to retreat from too much stimulation in order to carry out my tasks or my projects effectively. And so we act out of character at times. So I'm a professor, and my chief core project in my life is to profess. And that means that we have to act in a somewhat extroverted way when we're lecturing or when we're on public radio. You don't want me to back off and say, I have nothing to say about that.
And you did a TED Talk.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm trying now not to say anything so that you will see how hard it would be to be an introvert when you're playing into a social role and there are social expectations. Take a mom at a birthday party, and she's introverted. She acts as a pseudo-extrovert because she wants to put on an awesome birthday party for Emma. But at the end of it, she may be truly exhausted and want to retreat to the washroom and just quieten herself, whereas a true extrovert will have another party when the parents come to pick up the kids. And don't we need them all? Don't we need all these different kinds of people? And the other reason I think it's restricting to say, I'm an introvert, damn it, is that that's just one of five major dimensions of personality that we really need to take into account when we're understanding people. The other four are it spells out an acronym, OCEAN, so that openness to experience is one of them, conscientiousness is another, extroversion is the third, agreeableness is the A, and neuroticism is the N of OCEAN. And if you and each of these is independent of the other, meaning that you can be high on one or low, and high or low on each of the others. So the difference between an introvert who's disagreeable and neurotic is very different from an introvert who's agreeable and stable. And so simply to say that you're an introvert is cutting out all those other dimensions of personality, and I haven't even gotten into the subset of those characteristics that make us who we are.
We're talking with Brian Little right now. He's the author of Me, Myself, and Us, The Science of Personality and the Art of Well-Being. And he says it's a lot more complicated than just introvert and extrovert, and that by slapping ourselves with one of those labels, in particular this time introvert, we may be limiting ourselves and narrowing the scope of everything that we are. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We've got Jennifer on the line with us in Fitchburg. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. Well, I'm actually finding it strangely liberating that I can now say I'm an introvert trapped in an extrovert's body. It's taken me 40 years to realize that that's the case. I have a very extroverted way of living. My careers are all very extroverted. People would think that I'm a lot more, whatever you want to define that as, extrovert. But I recently learned about the perspective that how you recharge has a lot to do with whether you are extroverted or introverted. I know one of your colleagues in the kind of preview mentioned that, too, that I definitely recharge with more solitude, even though I have a very outgoing sort of general lifestyle.
Interesting. What is your profession, Jennifer?
I teach math to middle schoolers, and I'm also a group fitness instructor, so those alone sort of pigeonhole me for people, but I really like my alone time, ironically.
Right. So you're out there. Jennifer, thanks so much for sharing that. And Brian, that is something that a way people define themselves. Do you think that's accurate? If you say I recharge by being alone, you're more introverted. If you recharge with people, then you're more of an extrovert.
Yeah, I think that is fair. I think the common element is that introverts need to recharge by reducing stimulation, and that can mean being alone or listening to soothing music or anything that is going to reduce the arousal level that you experience in the part of the brain we call the neocortex. For extroverts, recharging can be the exact opposite. They may find after, particularly if they have been acting as a pseudo-introvert because their job demands it, after work, they don't want just to be on their own. They want to get out and go crazy at a club or, depending upon where they are in the life cycle, and get stimulated. There's another aspect, though, of sort of cutting ourselves short and simply saying that we're an introvert, for example, instead of being open to the possibility that there were many different things during our daily lives. And that is some recent research by a fellow called John Zelensky, who's shown that when introverts and extroverts are asked to anticipate how they will feel at an upcoming social event, the introverts predictably say they won't enjoy it. However, if you actually observe them in those events, they enjoy it. And so what might happen is that introverts avoid situations that they would actually enjoy and benefit from, simply by regarding their settled views on what they're like as settled instead of negotiable and flexible.
Brian Little stays with us now. We're talking about being an introvert or an extrovert and how if we label ourselves with, for instance, the label introvert, we may be limiting ourselves too. Brian Little is the author of Me, Myself, and Us.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see yourself as an introvert or an extrovert? And either way, how important that is that to who you are? Is there a lot more to you than introvert or extrovert? Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy? Do you, if you're an introvert, avoid that social occasion? Or if you go reluctantly, do you end up enjoying it anyhow? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation and get to your calls in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're continuing our discussion now with Brian Little about why he says people who just consider themselves introverts are limiting themselves.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see yourself as an introvert or an extrovert? How does that affect you in your daily life? Is that the most important thing about you, or just one of a whole bunch of different things that you'd want people to know about you? How does being an introvert or an extrovert affect your life? How do you get along with the people on the opposite end of things? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll get to your calls in just a bit, but first let's hear more from one of our WPR staffers.
There's this popular quote that a lot of artists have been using. You hear it in movies, and it's the loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room. And the more and more I kept coming across that quote, I'm like, well, I don't want to be perceived as weak. So I became more conscious of how soon I would speak, if I would be the first person to speak in the room, and how much I would speak.
So that's an interesting one. I mean, do you think, Brian, that there are prejudices against both introverts and extroverts, and we base our behavior a little bit on the ways that we think we might be perceived in that category?
Very much so. That was a really interesting observation that she made. And she's trying to modulate her behavior to live up to certain social expectations. I find that increasingly extroverts are becoming concerned that they are perceived as overly garrulous or coming on too strong, and they're attempting to modulate their behavior, just as more introverted people are trying to lean in more and be more socially engaged. And I think this captures more of what human personality is like than just the labeling of us as an introvert or an extrovert. We're constantly trying to negotiate our lives and craft our lives in ways that will sometimes embody one aspect of a trait dimension and sometimes another. And one other way in which I think it is limiting only to focus upon those traits is that I think a more central question is, what are the projects in your life that matter to you? And these personal projects, these core projects, are what drive our behavior. They may enjoin us to act out of character. Your most passionate project in your life is caring for your mom, because she's entered a stage of her life where she's beginning to experience some cognitive decline, and you're scared for her, and you're trying to get her into a facility, and there's intransigence and a buildup of resistance administratively, and so you, as a normally agreeable person, become strategically disagreeable for all of August. That, to me, is acting out of character. And it's to advance a core project of get my mom into a care facility that's right for her. And the same with extroversion and introversion. You can switch which end you experience or you enact to advance a core project. You may, however, risk burning out. And you can ameliorate that if you find what I call restorative niches, in which you can become your biogenic self after acting out of character. So, as a highly introverted person acting extrovertedly, you might find that you need to retreat into a restorative niche. Mine is a washroom with my feet up. Others may find that they're naturally disagreeable people, and they had to act agreeably, or a conscientious person has been asked to fake acting the opposite.
Let's get a couple of our callers in on this. A lot of people who are wanting to talk to you. This is Cynthia first in Strum. Cynthia, hi.
Hi.
What is your comment?
Well, I've always been introverted, and my whole life it's been wrong to be introverted. The social norm and acceptable was to be an extrovert, to want to go to parties and want to go to functions and want to be talkative and talk to people. So I've really enjoyed the last few years when it's become much more socially acceptable to say, hey, I'm an introvert. I'd rather stay home and watch a movie or stay home and read a book than go out and party with everybody. So to me, it's very freeing to be able to say, hey, no, I'm an introvert. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do, and it's okay.
Cynthia, thanks a lot for that. And Cynthia's getting at what you were talking about earlier, Brian, that this is a liberating moment for a lot of introverts, because they do feel like it's okay to not engage as intensely with the world maybe as other people. But are you worried about someone like Cynthia, that she will take it too far and maybe not push herself to go to that party that you say she might enjoy if she goes?
I think it's something we need to be aware of. I think we have all assimilated the message that I think was really launched by Susan Cain's book. I think that point has been made, and it has formed what Susan Cain and others are calling a quiet revolution. And revolutions can play themselves out, but there may be some downside to taking it too far. And one of the downsides is, if you only think of yourself as an introvert, then your degrees of freedom, the amount of freedom you have to enact your life in a way that is meaningful and rich and so on, can be shortchanged.
Cynthia, thanks a lot for that call. Appreciate it. And we're going to go next to Mary in Chicago. Mary, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm actually a clinical psychologist, and when I went back to graduate school in 2000, a couple of years in, we had to do the Myers-Briggs. And I came out all the way to the end of the E of extrovert. And so I call myself a capital E extrovert.
Ah, wow. And so have you experienced any sort of pushback, do you think, lately in the way extroverts are perceived, kind of like we were talking about, or do you fully embrace the extroverted part of you?
Oh, I fully embrace it. I can talk to anyone, anytime. I get along with most people. I've had some very good friends who are, some would say, introverted or shy. I'm comfortable in most situations. I'm quite outgoing in many areas. So I am fine with it. I laugh about being a capital E extrovert. We actually had to take it before we walked in the door the first day of the class. And the instructor said, gee, Mary, I've never seen anybody all the way to the end of a scale like this.
Wow, Mary is a capital E extrovert, and she's happy with it. Now let's take the flip side of this, Brian. Do you think that she could think about embracing maybe some of the positive qualities that might go around, that she might associate with introverts, the way that we're saying introverts could maybe embrace some of these other personality facets?
She sounds absolutely delightfully happy with her life, and I wouldn't want to step in and say, curtail yourself, woman, or bite your extroversion and hold your tongue. Of course not. Nor would I say that to an introvert who is happy and living a quiet, reflective, thoughtful life. What I do see, though, are particularly with my students, that they will sometimes, because they're not yet fully mature, they give themselves that identity that sticks with them for some time, and I think restricts the freedom they have to explore life, either by going out as an introvert into the crazy world that's out there, or for introverts, they may preclude themselves from turning inward and reflecting more about their life and having those quiet times that can be quite magical because they're so delightfully caught up in the buzz of social stimulation.
Well, Brian, it's been fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Brian Little, author of Me, Myself, and Us, A Science of Personality and the Art of Well-Being. He's a fellow of the Well-Being Institute and director of the Social Ecology Research Group in the Department of Psychology at Cambridge University. And you can find the link to his TED Talk on personality over on the Central Time Facebook page. He overcame his introversion to join us today, and we're glad that he did. This is Central Time.